1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll be reading all the 14 verses. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a speaking God, that you have spoken, and that even today, by your Spirit, through your word, you speak. Help us now as we hear these words of 1 Peter. Help us to be those who listen to what you say, to take it to heart. And we pray that through that you might bless us, encourage us, and keep us going for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to be focusing on really just verses 6 to 11. Verses 1 to 5, 1 to 5 are mostly addressed to elders, which is really just a few of us who are represented here this morning. So worth having a read and ponder of those verses, but we won't be looking at them this morning. Now, Peter's big aim for us with his letter is that we might be those who stand firm, keep going, and persevere. And he outlines his big aim for us in chapter 5, verse 12, saying that what he has written to us, he has written to us the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. In other words, God wants you and me to keep going as believers, to keep believing the gospel, to keep living out the gospel, and to keep holding out the gospel to a needy world, to stand fast. But of course, as we've seen in 1 Peter, that is easier said than done. Because if we're faithful believers, then Peter said we should expect to be opposed and insulted and to face difficulties. And with those difficulties come a number of temptations. The temptation to get angry at God for letting it all happen, for letting people oppose us and insult us and malign us. The temptation to be anxious at what could happen. What if this? What if that? What if the other? The temptation to give up because it's just too difficult. the temptation to be discouraged, thinking this is never going to change. So if we're going to keep standing fast and keep on going with these difficulties and the temptations that come with them, what truths do we need to know? What steps do we need to take? Well, Peter, as he concludes his letter, leaves us with three things that we need to know. Something about God, that he's a caring king. Something about the devil, that he's a devouring lion. And something about the future, that it's just around the corner and is bright, and I mean really, really bright. And Peter says, look, if we can get our heads and our hearts around those three things, we'll be well equipped to persevere and keep on going and stand fast. So let's have a look at those three things in turn. First off, about God. God is a caring king. Now we see the fact that God is king in verse 6, where it speaks of God's mighty hand. It's a way of saying that God is in charge of everything. His is the hand, which is at the control panel of the universe. In his hand is the world and everything that happens in it. He is the one who has the mighty hand. And that means that the difficulties that we face as believers, perhaps the opposition, the insults, are not outside of his control. His intention isn't to harm us, but to grow us. And he doesn't directly cause these things as if he's responsible for evil. But, nonetheless, they only happen according to his will. God's the king. He's in charge. We see that everywhere in Scripture. And we see it here too. Chapter 4, verse 19. Peter speaks of those who suffer according to God's will. God's in charge. Now, how should we respond to God's mighty hand? Well, Peter says, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. In other words, Peter tells us, look, don't rail against God's mighty hand, saying, God, how dare you let this happen? Don't rage against those who oppose us, repaying an evil with evil or insult with insult. But humble yourself under his mighty hand. That means submit to his will, to his sovereign will. Accept what's happening. Keep living for Jesus, even though that may well mean inviting more opposition and difficulty. He's the king. He's in charge. He has a plan and a good plan, and he can be trusted. So humble yourself under his mighty hand. So think of Bill. Bill is a faithful Christian. At work, he's faithful, he is diligent, he is what a Christian should be. But some of his colleagues have started to insult him, calling him a bigot and a dinosaur, a hater. All because, quite humbly, he said, look, in good conscience, I can't represent the company at the Pride March next month. I can't do that. He's been faithful. But inside, he feels angry. In his heart, he's harboring anger towards God. God, why are you letting this happen to me? He's harboring anger towards his colleagues. So far, he's held his tongue. He hasn't said anything. He's been gracious. But if one more person says one more insult, he knows exactly what he's going to say. He's angry towards them. And God says, Bill, humble yourself under my mighty hand. I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing. I can be trusted. Keep being faithful, even though that will mean insults, so that I may lift you up in due time. God's the king. But he's not some kind of hard-nosed disinterested, unconcerned king. No, he's a caring king who cares about our lives and our difficulties. So if we look at verse 7, it's one of those really, really precious verses in the Bible. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God sees when we're struggling with those difficulties, with the worries and the anxieties, when we're hauling them on our back up the difficult road to glory. And he says, look, offload them onto me. I'll carry them, all of them, because I care for you. What would that look like to cast our anxieties onto God? Well, I guess it would start with prayer. Father, I'm anxious about this and anxious about that, and what if this and what if that? Please take the burden of these anxieties from me. Help me to trust you with the uncertainties, with whatever happens. So Mary, she's living faithfully for Jesus. But she's not getting it in the neck at the moment, despite how she's living. No one's really getting at her. But she's got right expectations, and she knows that opposition and insults will come at some point. And that really worries her. In fact, she's overcome with anxiety. What if I lose my job? What if my boss insults me on social media? What if? What is it going to be like for my kids as things change? God says, Mary, pass those burdens this way. I'll carry them, all of them, because I care for you. So if we're going to keep on standing fast, we need to get our heads and our hearts around this truth. God is a king and a caring king. Not to rail against them or to rage against those who oppose us, but rather we're to cast our anxieties onto him because he cares for us. That's the first thing we need to know. But the second thing we need to know, if we're going to stand firm, is about the devil. The devil is a devouring lion. Have a look at verses 8 and 9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I watched a video clip recently. It was really, really terrifying. It was it's in one of these kind of drive-through safari parks, which a family were visiting. Despite all of the warnings, this family decided that they would get out of the car and go and take pictures of the scenery or something like that. But they were out of the car. And what you see in this video is, out of nowhere, is lions sprinting towards this family. Now, this family scramble, and they get in the car by the skin of their teeth. They were that close from being mauled to death. Now, we don't know it half of the time, but that's a threat that we face as believers. Not just pressure from the world to conform to its ways, but also from the devil, our enemy, a devouring lion. Now, we know from the rest of the Bible that the devil is not on the loose. He is on a leash. That God's in charge. The devil can only do what God allows him to do. And yet here, Peter just wants us to get just how dangerous he is. I mean, you hear that in the language, don't you? He is roaring and prowling around looking for someone to devour. How does he attack us? What would it look like to be devoured? Well, his teeth are his temptations. In particular, those temptations to give up and just conform back into the way of the world. You don't really want to be the only one in your company not to go to this march. I mean, that's going to cause you all sorts of trouble. There's no need to let them know that you're a Christian. Just play it down. Don't be so intense. It'll be more hassle than it's worth. And what he's really saying with those temptations is, see that difficult road to glory that you're on? Come off it. Come onto this easy road to destruction. And with that danger in mind, God calls us to be alert, to be of sober mind, so that we might resist him. Recognize where we are. We're not in a safe garden. We're in a safari park with lions. Don't get complacent. You know, we may not see him, but he's there, prowling around, hungry to devour his next Christian. And very sadly, you know, it happens. In the UK and the USA in this past year, we've had a number of Christian leaders who have been devoured in that sense. They've given up the faith. Did they get complacent? Did they get out of the car, so to speak, because they didn't see any threats? God says, watch out. Watch out for him. So Chris is really feeling the pressure at the moment. He wasn't fired, technically, but he was pretty much pushed out of his job. He was told that he wasn't enough of a team player. That kind of confused him. He said, why? And they and eventually it kind of surfaced that, he hadn't been along to some of the really quite wild work nights out. And this had really annoyed those who had organized it. Now he's struggling to get a new job, and he knows for sure he doesn't want to be treated like this again. He's finding it really hard. And for the first time since becoming a Christian, he's contemplating leaving it all behind, or just coming along on a Sunday and leaving it at that. God says, Chris, watch out. Watch out. Be on your guard. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him. So if we're going to stand firm, we need to know God is a caring king. We need to know that the devil is a dangerous lion. But then thirdly and finally, we need to know something about the future. We need to know that the future is, well, just around the corner and really, really bright. Have a look at verses 10 and 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. You see, God wants to give us perspective about time. When suffering for Christ and getting it in the neck, time seems to slow down. And it can feel like things are never going to change, that it's always going to be like this. And there's the temptation to be discouraged. But God says, look, next to eternal glory and restoration that will go on forever and ever, suffering for Jesus in this world, really, it lasts a little while. That's the line he uses, a little while. The length of time that we're going to spend in glory makes the journey time to get there really very short indeed. I borrow this illustration. We often think of our Christian lives now in this world as this little black bit. And when we're at this point, it feels there's so far to go and difficulties can just slow the whole things down. But Peter says, well, just remember, though, that Christ will come back and there will be glory. And it will keep on going and keep on going. There will be restoration and it won't end. And if I had a longer rope, it would just keep going. But it gives us perspective, doesn't it? Because it means that this trial, this suffering now, it's only a little while next to eternal glory. And when we get there, God will restore us. He will make us strong, firm, and steadfast. Restoration, it speaks of wounds being healed, of injustices being put right, of opposition being banished, of insults being silenced, of full vindication. And I just think it's interesting here because he uses four words. God will restore, make strong, firm, and steadfast. It's really just one idea. He could have communicated it with one word or perhaps two words. You know, God is going to restore you completely or something like that. But he uses four words because he really wants us to get that this restoration in glory is going to be complete. Say if you've got an old antique table that has seen better days, and you take it to the furniture restorer. He doesn't just say to you, look, well, I'll restore it. He says, look, I'll fix up any broken bits. I'll strengthen the legs and the joints. I'll replace any missing bits. I'll polish the lot. I'll sand it. I'll clean it. And listing it off like that is really his way of saying, look, I'm not just going to clean this a little bit. I'm going to do a complete restoration job. I'm going to leave nothing undone. And as far as it is, as difficult as it is for us to imagine, that is what God promises us who are in Christ. In glory, we will enjoy complete restoration. In those days, there won't be even a hint of sadness left. We won't have even the tiniest scar remaining. Every last wound will be completely healed. So Gillian, she's plodding along faithfully, despite the pressure to conform. But she's discouraged. This is never going to change. This is just it now. God says, no, it will change. There is only a little while to go. The difficult road to glory is short. Because glory, it is really just around the corner and it is bright, really, really bright. So don't be discouraged. Keep going. Well, I don't know for you which of those temptations particularly resonate. To be angry, to be anxious, to give up, to be discouraged. Maybe you know that you've succumbed to some of those temptations recently. I love how in this passage, how God is described as the God of all grace. You know, he is ready and willing to forgive us if we would come back to him. Maybe these are live temptations for you. That temptation to be angry at God for allowing people to insult you, if that's what you're experiencing at the moment. God says, well, remember, I'm king. Humble yourself under my mighty hand. Perhaps it's that temptation to be anxious at what could happen. And I guess for us in our country at this time, when not many Christians are being insulted in a big way in this abnormal time of history, anxiety could be many of our temptations, the temptation for many of us. What will happen if things change? And because they are changing, and what if I lose my job? And what will it be like for my kids? And God says, remember, I'm a caring king. You can cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you. Maybe it's that temptation to give up because it's just too difficult. The difficult road to glory is too painful. And God says, remember the devil. He is a devouring lion. Watch out for him. Maybe it's that temptation to be discouraged. Things are never going to change. Well, no, the future is just around the corner and it's bright, really, really bright. Full restoration. So keep going. Hold on. Stand fast. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good and generous God who loves us and cares for us, who wants us to keep going as believers, to keep going right to the end. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you don't just leave us to cope by ourselves, but you seek to help us and to encourage us and give us truths that will help us. And so we pray, Lord, we pray that we might take these to heart and be encouraged to stand fast, even when that means difficulty. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.